Jesus with long, flowing brown hair and a lamb over his shoulders and a few sheep around, a rather bucolic setting. It's the Jesus we all want. Wise, small, caring for the weak and the injured, comforting, peaceful. And alas, that doesn't always jive with the record, does it? Every time I hear today's gospel lesson, it jars me. Here's a woman just seeking help for her daughter. And while Jesus does ultimately heal the daughter, he seems to be dismissive, ignoring, rude, doesn't want to pay attention to her. We're used to Jesus criticizing the Pharisees. We kind of cheer a little bit when that happens. Yeah, you know. This is just the law. Looking for help for her daughter. How could Jesus be rude to such a person? So how are we to hear this? How are we to make sense of how Jesus responds to this woman? What is it in the picture that we're missing? And you know, by the way, two things I want to say about how I read the scripture. First, when I come to a place where I hear something of God or of Jesus that bothers me, that makes me uncomfortable, I assume there's something I don't know. And so that's what I go looking for. And one of the first places I look is in the context. I start looking around passage, before it and after it, to see what the flow is. And it's actually very helpful in this story to look at the flow that Matthew is telling us about. See how the teaching is moving along to understand how this interaction with this woman fits in. Excuse me. It actually starts back at the beginning of chapter 15, a bit sooner, a lesson that is skipped over in our cycle this year. The scribes and Pharisees had begun criticizing Jesus and his disciples because the disciples hadn't performed the ritual hand washing before they ate. And that was seen as a very serious thing. The Pharisees took that sort of thing very seriously. Now they had a distinction. The washing of the hands was considered to be the tradition of the elders. And they drew a distinction between the commandments, like the Ten Commandments, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. That was different from the traditions of the elders. And they understood that the traditions were not as critical or as central or as defining as the commandments. But yet they saw them as a very important expression of how to be confident about the commandments. That's what the traditions were designed to do. Was to tell me how do I behave in my day-to-day life in such a way as to be sure that I obey the commandments. And so one of the things was that, and they had a long series of rationales I won't go into now, about why you needed to go through this ritual hand-washing before eating. And apparently Jesus' disciples had skipped the hand-washing. They didn't follow the tradition of the elders. And Jesus turns right back on them. And he said, look, why do you make the traditions of men more important than the commandments of God? And he used another example because there was another tradition that said that it was an assumed norm that the sons, particularly the oldest son, had a responsibility to care for their parents in their old age, which often meant providing some money so they could buy food and that sort of thing. But the tradition said that if you say to your parents, tithe, then you didn't have to support your parents anymore. You could just give the tithe and be done with it. He said, so you were using the command of God as a way to ignore the other command to honor your father and your mother. So don't be selectively deciding which of these traditions you get to follow and which of these commands you get to follow. We turned it right back on. And then we get the discussion about the eating of food and what defiles us. See, in that light, suddenly we understand why Jesus is saying it's not what goes in that defiles. That just goes out in the sewer. I suspect that was kind of a joke. I suspect they all chuckled when he gave that line. But he said it's not what goes in that defiles, rather it's what comes out of us that defiles, that makes us unclean before God, that stains us and leaves us requiring the redemption of Jesus. And so suddenly now it makes sense when Jesus says to them, these are what defile a person, that is, evil intentions, murder, adultery, fornication, theft, false witness, slander. These are what defile a person, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile. Okay? So it's the breaking of the commandments, the core teachings of God that defile, not the traditions of the elders, the traditions of men. And now we come to the story of this woman. And I think what Jesus is actually doing here is he is showing the disciples and the others who are watching where the traditions take you. Where do those go if you're going to follow your traditions? And so the woman comes. And wants help for her daughter. And Jesus just ignores her. Because frankly, that's all the tradition required of him. He was not required to pay any attention to her. She was a woman, and she was a Canaanite. Even worse. So he didn't know her biblically. He could freely ignore her request, and that's what he did. And she kept going, and the disciples were on the traditions of the elders act. And so the disciples said, make her go away. She's just bothering us. She's annoying us. No care about the daughter or about what distressed her. But they just wanted to make her go away because the tradition did not require them to do anything in care of this woman, this Canaanite infidel would be how they saw her. But she persisted. She kept going. She said, Lord, please help me. And Jesus responded again, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. In other words, you're not part of my clan. The traditions only require me to take care of my own, of those who are part of my clan. So I'm not going to take care of you. And she continues to persist. And he says, yes, but it's not fair to take the children's food and give it to the dogs. And I think, I'd like to confirm this when I get to that, by the way. But I believe that he was speaking what was in all of their hearts. Deep down, they all looked at that Canaanite woman as a dog, as not really human, as not really counting, because she wasn't one of theirs. She wasn't one of their own. And so he was simply verbalizing the ugliness that their traditions carried them to. He was forcing them to face where their line of thinking would go. And then finally, he turns to the woman and says, great is your faith. Remember when she says, yes, but even the dogs get what falls off the master's table? He says, woman, great is your faith. she had the confidence that Jesus would and could help her daughter. She had the confidence to keep going, to press on when the other people tried to shoo her away. She pressed through all that. Such was her trust and faith that Jesus would and could help her. And he said, "Great is your faith, it will be done for you as you wish." And her daughter was healed. You see, I think what Jesus was about was showing them the ugliness of their own way of thinking by demonstrating. And then in the end, he shows by contrast what the command of God to love and care for all his children calls us to do. And how that looks by contrast in our relationships. In the end, Jesus fulfills the law of love. And then he goes on, more healing to feeding the 4,000 and other expressions of caring for the people that are around. Unless we think that we don't get caught up in the same thing, how easily do we get stuck in the pattern of looking at superficial things, things that are just traditions of men, and judging people based on that? Do they dress the way we think they should dress? Do they talk the way we think they should talk? Do they behave the way they think, the way we think that they should behave? There are so many ways. Do they like the same kind of music? When they go to worship, do they like, you know, deafening rock music in their worship service? Or do they like lovely, nice, traditional organ music? Please know I have a place for both in my worship life. But it's so easy for us to get caught up in these judgments of one another. These are some of our modern-day traditions. And the church has gotten caught over the years in many of these traditions of men, so to speak. There was a time, I'm sad to say, in the life of the church, when the church actually defended slavery and racism. Blatantly. Overtly. That's a disgrace. And that's a place where we need to set that bit of tradition aside and walk away from it. And take on a new way. Get back to the commandment to love and care for all of God's children equally, regardless of skin color, or ethnicity, or educational background, or mental health, or physical ability, whatever it may be, to love and care for all of God's children equally is the command. And when we allow ourselves to let other things cause us to treat people differently, or to see people differently, or to see people as being of less value, then we have walked away from the clear and plain commandments of God. And that's what Jesus is warning people against. And I think that's the arc of the teaching that Matthew brings to us by telling us this series of stories in this way. Don't let human ways of thinking block us from the love that God calls us to. Don't let the traditions of men get in the way of living our faith. I think we're in for a difficult time in our national life. We're going to be working out some very core issues for us as a nation. What is our free speech mean? How far does free speech go? How are we going to deal with the continuing latent racism that affects our culture? And how are we going to begin to exile that? And the role of the church in all that, I think, is not so much to stand up and point fingers and all that, but the role of the church is to witness to a different kind of life, to a life we have, I think, built into us genetically over billions of years, probably, this tendency to separate out and to even fear that which differs from us. Evolutionarily, we can see how that becomes an important effect, that which is not like us is something that we should be very cautious about, keep it at arm's length. And I think that genetically we're wired to do that. And so this is something that we have to battle, even within ourselves, this tendency to look out and define ourselves over against others, and to push those who aren't like us off some greater distance, out to the margins. So I encourage you to look for that within yourself, to repent of it when you find it, and to look for opportunities to witness as the church, as the body of Christ, to a vision of our common relationships and our common life that loves and cares deeply.